The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm so glad you could join us today for today's show. All sorts of news we've got to get to. Most importantly, breaking news out of my home state of Idaho. The children of three of Idaho's top marijuana activists have been seized by Child Protective Services, and we are going to try to help them out. If you can help donate money, we're going to talk about that in behind the headlines. This is going to affect Compassionate Idaho, the medical marijuana initiative, Idaho Normal, and Idaho Moms for Marijuana. So at the end of the show, in the Radical Rant, we're going to get Lindsay Reinhart from Compassionate Idaho, the chief petitioner for Idaho's medical marijuana, and Sarah Frank, the founder of Moms for Marijuana International, on the phone. We'll talk to them, get the latest updates. In behind the headlines, I'll tell you what went down. Also on today's show, it's Wednesday, so we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis Q&A segment. So if you've got any questions on cannabis science, history, culture, or health, please just give us a ring or get into our chat room at Ustream, and you can ask your live questions of one of America's top marijuana researchers. Also on today's show, it's Irie Wednesday, so we'll have Brian the Red joining us to bring us some music of the Irie variety. Today's song comes to us from the Rasta Farmers. It's called Celebrate Jah. Also on today's show, we've got your 420 radio news. I've got updates on drug testing for welfare bills in three different U.S. states. It just keeps on coming. They want to take away your unemployment, your temporary assistance to needy families, all of the things that are our social safety net. You won't be able to qualify for them unless you pass a drug test. We'll let you know which states are on the docket for passing these bills. Also, we've got some bills to ban certain kind of medical marijuana edibles that are packaged to look like candy. Phoenix, Arizona gets its first medical marijuana dispensary, coming on the heels of a study showing that medical marijuana could bring 1,500 jobs to Arizona, and an interesting loophole in the Washington I-502 marijuana law that might make all marijuana, as much as you have, completely legal, or at least difficult to prosecute. We'll tell you why when we get to the 420 radio news. All of that coming up in the next hour here on the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
your feet for cracks in the pavement. Up above, aliens hover, making home movies for the folks back home. Of all these weird creatures who lock up their spirits, drill holes in themselves and live for their secrets. Oh, they're all
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Alabama Senate approves welfare drug testing from WIAT. The Alabama Senate has approved legislation providing for drug testing of welfare recipients suspected of using illegal drugs. The Republican leader of the Senate, Del Marsh, moved to pass the bill while all the Democrats were out of the Senate chamber Tuesday afternoon. He also asked to have it passed using the roll call from a previously passed bill. No one objected, and the bill automatically passed 22 to 10. Democrats opposed to the bill rushed to the chamber to complain about Marsh using a quick procedural move. Marsh says they should have been in the chamber when the vote was to be taken place. Minnesota welfare drug testing debate prompts House members to vote for testing themselves. This from HuffingtonPost.com. The Associated Press reports that the Minnesota House was immersed in a long debate about how to finance the state's upcoming Health and Human Services budget. Among the 87 amendments on the table was drug testing for welfare recipients, the Minneapolis Star Tribune adds. According to the AP, after a Republican made that proposal, one Democrat suggested House members be part of that process, moving for salary and benefits to be tied to successful completion of a drug test. GOP members did not balk at that bet, with a House majority voting to add both measures to the larger $7 billion bill that was passed, 70-64. Bring on the cup, State Representative Dwayne Quam, Republican of Byron, told the AP. I have nothing to fear. North Carolina Senate blocks testing themselves when passing welfare drug testing bill. From RawStory.com. Republicans in the North Carolina State Senate on Monday pushed through a bill that would strip public benefits like food stamps and job training for people who fail a drug test. In a 35-15 vote, largely along party lines, senators passed SB 594. A single Democrat voted for the bill, and no Republicans voted against it. The bill requires those applying for benefits to pay for their own drug tests. Applicants who test negative would be eligible to have the cost of their tests reimbursed. The policy could cost the state more than $2.1 million. At the same time, senators rejected an amendment offered by a Democratic state senator that would have drug-tested the lawmakers, the governor, and cabinet secretaries. Lawmakers want to ban certain medical marijuana products, from Boston Magazine. In Massachusetts, some state officials are trying to keep certain pot-infused products from hitting the shelves once dispensaries start popping up around the state. State Representative Peter Durant, Republican of Spencer, managed to slip in an amendment that would bar the manufacturing, packaging, and sale of marijuana and synthetic marijuana products that are similar to snacks and foods that are popular on the market, and in some cases specifically target kids. During a presentation at the budgetary hearing, Durant used posters of products like Pot Tarts and Munchie Ways that push the products to the consumers. Phoenix's first medical marijuana dispensaries opens from myfoxphoenix.com. The first licensed medical marijuana dispensary in Phoenix will serve its first customers on Wednesday. Bloom Sky Train had originally planned to begin serving customers on Saturday, but a computer server run by Arizona's Department of Health Services was down, and they were unable to sell anything. This is followed up from azstarnet.com. A study shows medical marijuana will create about 1,500 jobs in Arizona, according to a new industry-sponsored study. Tim Hogan, an ASU research associate who authored the study, used information from Oregon's established medical marijuana industry to estimate the size of Arizona's fledgling market. Hogan found that the industry had the potential to create not only 1,500 direct jobs for marijuana growers and dispensary employees, but also up to 5,000 indirect jobs at places like grocery stores. Arizona has approximately 38,000 medical marijuana cardholders and has allowed 126 dispensaries, a percentage of the state's operating pharmacies. Only a handful are open now. Legal marijuana law jeopardizes all pot prosecutions, from Como News. Prosecutors and crime lab scientists say a little-noticed provision in Washington's new law legalizing recreational marijuana has jeopardized their ability to go after any pot crimes at all, and they're calling for an immediate fix in the legislature. Part of the problem is from the law meant to distinguish marijuana from industrial hemp, which is grown from its fiber. The law defines marijuana as having more than 0.3% of THC. Scientists with the state crime lab say often, even potent marijuana can have less than 0.3% THC. It's only when it's heated or burned that another compound, THC acid, turns into Delta-9 THC and the pot achieves its full potency. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines for breaking news from Idaho, where the children of three of Idaho's top marijuana activists have been seized by Child Protective Services. They're raising money for their legal expenses. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And in today's headlines, it's actually quite personal to me because these are friends of mine that are now being harassed, attacked for political reasons here in the state of Idaho, my home state. Idaho police have raided the home of Idaho's top marijuana activists and seized their children. What had happened is this involved Lindsey Reinhart, who is the chief petitioner for Compassionate Idaho. That's Idaho's medical marijuana initiative, Compassionate Idaho. And she's been very prominent on the news there in the Gem State. And, you know, people know who she is and that she's all about the medical marijuana petition. She was on a trip up to the mountains, you know, typical thing that we would do in Idaho, go north and, you know, hang out and camp and such, with her husband, Josh. Now, Josh Reinhart is the new executive director for Idaho Normal, which is the, you know, of course, the chapter of Normal from my home state. Formerly, Isaiah Valdez was in charge of that. And now we've got Josh Reinhart in charge of it. He's also with the core staff of the Idaho Hope Fest. That's Hemp Offers People Everything. And he's part of that core staff, which would now be going into its third year of the Idaho Hope Fest, which is basically their version of a hemp fest. And in addition, they were with their friend Sarah Caldwell, who is the finance director for Moms for Marijuana International. And of course, we deal with Moms for Marijuana all the time on this show. Every other Tuesday, we have a Listen to Your Mother segment where they get on the show and talk from their perspective. Now, Sarah and Josh and Lindsay had all gone off to the mountains for a short camp out. Lindsay and Josh have two children. Sarah has two children. I think that's how it works out. But there was four children involved, and they were in the care of a babysitter at, I believe, Lindsay's home. But we'll get the straight dope from her at the end of the show. But apparently being babysat at Lindsay and Josh's home. Now, unbeknownst to anyone, again, as I understood this, a child who was a friend of one of their children was caught with some marijuana. And so he ratted, I guess you could say, on Lindsay's child. And that was enough for the cops to be able to get a warrant and go to Lindsay's house while there was a babysitter there and they were out of town. They come back into town to find cops had gone through their house, searched their entire homes, seized Lindsay and Josh's children, and since Sarah's children were there too, went ahead and seized them as well. So four children taken away from two families that are devastated. And folks, nobody works harder than these Idaho activists. They have so much more courage than I do. I left Idaho. I wasn't going to stay there. It was too dangerous for me. I was becoming too prominent and too well known, and just the slightest amount of marijuana can get you a lot of trouble out there. And I'm a guy with no kids and no family and nothing really tying me down. These are folks that believe in the movement so much and believe in what they're doing so much. They're donating so much of their time and their energy and taking this risk. And now that risk has come to fruition. Now they are facing not only losing their kids in this situation, but dealing with all of the legal hassle that is going to take place from this point on and possible marijuana charges as well that could lead them into criminal court. So please, I know I ask for money all the time. It's public radio. That's what we do. But not for me. We're fine at 420 Radio. We've actually gotten some sponsors. I've gotten some good news. I can't tell you yet, but from the Cannabis Cup that is going to really help our sponsorship. So if you can spare it now, go to that address that's right below me. It's on my Rad Russ short address, rad-r.us/Idaho Fund. And you got to capitalize the I in Idaho and the F in fund. So Idaho Fund. Take that. Go there and donate. By the way, you supporters of 420 Radio just donated $100. We put $100 from the nonprofit into the donation there for their support, to support their legal fund. Please help them out as much as you can. I'm going to be calling all of my Legal Eagle friends and find out what I can find out. Most of my friends are on the East and West Coast. I don't know any lawyers in Idaho, but I'm going to try to find some for you, ladies and Josh, because this is just, this cannot stand. This kind of action is something they've been waiting to do. They've been waiting for the slightest excuse to try to nip the Idaho movement in the bud, so to speak. And this is the way they always do it. They always want to fight. They want to take your kids. They want to hurt you. We're not going to let them get away with it. We're not going to let them get away with hurting these people and destroying the movement in my home state. Stick with us. 45 after, we'll have Lindsay and I believe Sarah Frank, not Sarah Caldwell, on the show to talk about it.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Where is he?
Don't worry, he's gonna be here.
Where is he?
What time is it?
4:20.
4:20.
Time to get lifted. Ah, God. My bones hurt from not smoking.
4:20 is when we smoke.
God, I love 4:20.
It's my favorite 3-digit number. Do you guys think anyone else knows about 4:20?
What do you mean?
It's our thing. You know, we are always saying it, you know?
Yeah.
That's because we are always smoking at 4:20, you know? Do you think anyone else has caught on by now?
Why would anyone give a rat's dick about when we light up?
Actually, I may have told somebody.
What?
How could you?
That's our thing, dude. Our thing. Not somebody else's thing. Who did you tell?
And just my older brother.
That's not that bad.
That's not that bad.
And the Grateful Dead.
You told the Grateful Dead about 4:20? Who?
Uh-huh.
The greatest rock band of our generation. You told them about our secret smoking ritual?
It's not that bad. Okay? The Grateful Dead, like, I've never heard of them, so it's not like the whole world knows. You know? It's not going to turn into a big holiday.
Actually...
You got to be
shitting me! What the hell is wrong with you?
Listen, relax, okay? It's not that bad. In fact...
Imagine your name in lights. The Waldos. 4:20. The holiday.
You know what? I can't wait till we are famous people.
Hey, where does 4:20 even come from?
It's Hitler's birthday.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody, and normally at this time I'd be tossing to Brian the Red, who would give you the introduction for this next fine reggae tune. Unfortunately, Brian's running a little late. The bus system here in Portland, sometimes you got to deal with what you got to deal with. So I'll take care of the introduction, because the way that it works here on the Russ Belville Show for Irie Wednesday is Brian brings in the track from last week's Red Eyes Reggae Flashback, kind of the title track, to give you a taste of what you're going to hear later on after our hour two. Right at 5 o'clock, we have our next show come up, and that will be a different view. And then later tonight at 8 o'clock, you've got a new edition of Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. So it's kind of like a sampler of what you'll hear tonight live here at 420 Radio with Brian the Red, a.k.a. Red Eyes, at Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. Some of the best reggae, dub, rare 12-inch mixes, all sorts of stuff. Some of it's out of print. Some of it is custom stuff that was given to Brian and his dad being a reggae DJ for years and years here in the Portland area. So today's tune that we have was the title track from last week's episode of Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. You can go to redeyesreggae.com, and that's Red Eyes with a Z. RedEyesReggae.com. If you want to catch any of the back episodes, there's 20 some odd episodes now, hour long each, of great reggae tracks, good stuff for smoking to. So here we go. Let's give it off to the Rasta Farmers with Celebrate Jah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
fun.
Oh, hello. I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Ring. We're partying hard over here, baby. So stop on by. Check out the funky grooves and shake your booty too.
Don't get in a two-seat, brother. Don't get in a two-seat. Don't get so you can move about.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
I got the perfect day to have Dr. Mitch here because I need a doctor. I got a rhinovirus from hell, Dr. Mitch. What do I do?
I'm afraid the only cure is time and your natural immune system.
Oh, fortunately, I have a very healthy immune system. I grew up like George Carlin did, rooting around in canals and ditch water. So my T cells are awesome.
All right. To get tough or die.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, we always start this segment off with Dr. Mitch letting us know the latest in cannabis science. While you folks out there in the chat room get your questions ready, let us know in the chat what you'd like the doctor to answer, and we'll bring it to him. Or you can call us live. The number's up on the screen, 971-533-7111. So, Dr. Mitch, what's new?
Well, there's a new paper coming out in this journal, Comprehensive Psychiatry, called Cannabis Use and Cannabis Use Disorders Among Individuals with Mental Illness. Mm. This journal has kind of wronged us in the past, and I feel like we're in a situation where things are getting a little overstated. So some researchers out of Israel actually looked at some data from the U.S. and are affiliated with Canada, so this couldn't be more international than it possibly could be. Unfortunately, the publicity around it is saying that basically people who use cannabis or who have cannabis use disorders are 10 times more likely to have mental illness. In fact, when you look really closely and control for other substance abuse problems, there may be a 3 times factor for people being more likely to have mental illness, and it all looks like self-medication because it's all correlational. Mm-hmm. So I just want folks to be ready to defend our side when this happens. So anybody who's going to turn this into marijuana causes mental illness, that's really not the case. Lots and lots of mentally ill people smoke pot, but this is no evidence that pot causes mental illness.
Right. And Christine Tatum is one of them who've jumped on this. I mean, with the news that we got out of Denver, we had the shooting, and then there was also with the Boston bombing suspects being called potheads, that some of these prohibitionists, some of these drug rehab people are jumping right on it saying, see, we need to ask more questions about the link between pot and psychosis. To me, I see two guys suspected of terrorism out of 2 million daily tokers as a literal 1 in a million chance.
I couldn't have done the math better myself.
So when they bring up this pot and psychosis thing, what's a quick way that our listeners, you know, because this is going to get brought up in their conversations, what's the quick way they can debunk this that people will understand?
Marijuana doesn't cause psychosis, but a lot of psychotic people do use pot. If you think about, if you were hearing voices or having disturbing thoughts, what might you do? You'd mm-hmm. try to medicate one way or another. Here's an opportunity to use it without having to tell your doctor about these symptoms for fear you're going to end up in the mental hospital. and a chance to actually alleviate some of these, because we're finding with the high cannabidiol strains, this actually does decrease some of the magical ideation and psychotic symptoms. So I can't say I blame anybody for doing this themselves.
Mm-hmm. All right. There was another study that I found, and this was coming out of South Africa, I believe. Times Live out of South Africa brought this up, and the headline just caught my eye. It said, cannabis pill better than smoking for pain relief. And it says, neuroscientists in the United States have now carried out what they say is the first scientific study to compare pain relief between smoked marijuana and pills with THC. Ziva Cooper and Margaret Haney of Columbia University, they had 15 males, 15 females, who were all daily cannabis smokers. They had a chance of either smoking pot, taking a pill, taking a placebo. They did the cold presser test, and they found that the pot smokers and the pill takers both were able to withstand the pain better, but the pill takers even more so. I'm wondering if you saw that study and what you think of it.
I did, and I love Meg Haney, and I mean, she's got to do what she can to keep the lab funded, but even she knows this is stupid. What we should have done is compare the THC pill to medibles, and then, of course, if they're both orally administered, what a surprise, they're both going to do well for a long time. Mm. The idea that the smoked cannabis didn't last as long, so therefore the pill is better, is really comparing apples and oranges. We all know that eating a brownie lasts a lot longer than taking a toke. This is really not news.
Yeah, and they also made a note here in the report that this was of all daily cannabis smokers, so they didn't know how it would turn out with people who weren't daily cannabis smokers, and my thought was, well, probably the same.
I gotta say, people who use cannabis every day are just like everybody else.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so let's go to our chat room here at ustream.tv. You can also find it at 420radio.org. Just click on the chat link there by the player. And we've got all sorts of folks in the chat room here that are looking for answers to their questions. We've also got our phone line open at 971-533-7111. And one of the questions that we get quite often has to do with the emerging knowledge of CBD and how useful it may be, or it is, with respect to many of these medical conditions. Are there other new, well, maybe not new, but new attention to other cannabinoids for specific medical purposes that we haven't heard about?
It's been unfortunate. There are at least 64 cannabinoids unique to the plant. Cannabinol is one that's been getting some attention, but again, it's not available easily for research, in part just because it's not clear exactly what it does. And then the ranting and raving we hear about THCA in the juiced fresh leaf cannabis also, unfortunately, is not easily accessible. So I'm afraid we're really in the dark ages here, and I got a feeling 10, 15 years from now, we're going to look back on this and kind of chuckle at it the way we look back on the ancient Romans who used to drink out of lead-lined cups.
Mm, yeah. Another issue that has come up quite a bit lately is the concentrates. And when I was at the High Times Cannabis Cup this last weekend, it was, you know, probably 2-to-1, maybe 3-to-1 in seeing people using concentrates versus using flower. And what I really appreciated about the event this time is they had posted signs fairly prominently saying that, you know, these are concentrated. They are more powerful. You need to sit down, have some water. If you're feeling lightheaded, let us know. Is there any new information about the use of concentrates and how people are reacting to this that has hit the news or the science that we should talk about?
So my student Mallory Laughlin and I are wrapping up a big internet study on this, and what we are seeing is small increases in the things you would expect, folks getting burned on a hot titanium nail, but we're not seeing any more symptoms of cannabis dependence, and in fact, in the folks who are using dabs medicinally, we're not seeing any kind of real exaggerated problems that are cannabis-related at all. So I was really cautious, and I got to confess, a little alarmist when these first came out, but it looks like smart people who use these regularly know exactly how to handle it. I do want to emphasize that tolerance does develop more rapidly when you've got high doses. Odds are high, a little dab will do you.
Mm, exactly. I find personally a little bit of a difference between smoking or vaporizing and using the dabs, and it almost seems like it feels like there's an oily coating in my throat somehow. The cough feels different. Is there any significant difference between the smoke we're getting or the vapor we're getting off of dabs and vapor from vaporizers?
I mean, as we saw at the normal conference, there are some experts who were saying it really does depend on how these are made. And we've got some wonderful experts out there doing a superb job making sure this process is completely clean. But as in anything in an underground market, we also have some folks who are less experienced who may not be doing as good a job. And so there may be residues from some of the process that we really just don't know enough about. Mm.
All right. We have a question from our chat room, and this is an interesting one. Lively Libra asks, my hot flashes all but ceased last weekend in Denver. The only difference is I did dabs there. Coincidence or not?
I never want to generalize from a single case, but this is the third person who's mentioned this exact phenomenon. So I feel like there's enough here to start doing some investigation. I'm going to see if I can get the Summer Ethics Board to let me have approval. I know it sounds weird, but if you saw an ad on Craigslist that said, hey, are your hot flashes better after you use cannabis, please go ahead and click on the link.
Well, that will be a fun study to get involved in. Maybe we can get Libra in on that study. when we're talking about this, of course, folks, if you don't know, you know, hot flashes, part of menopause. Let's you know, speculate a little bit here. If this is happening, I mean, what is the hypothesis? Is it how we have our endocannabinoid system, and it has to do with homeostasis, and when women are going through menopause, that's the issue? I mean, what's going on there?
I mean, so menopause is a complicated multi-hormone process, and unfortunately, you know, too complicated for a soundbite. But in general, we also see the endocannabinoid system is very much involved in thermoregulation. So you've got luteinizing hormone in particular, a whole bunch of other hormones that seem to have some relation to cannabis use being affected, and literally the ultimate thermoregulator, if you will, in a sense, in an effort to treat that. Hmm. It's unclear how long the duration would last. It would be unclear how to use this medicinally in a rapid fashion. Would you first notice symptoms and then try to run to your vaporizer? How would this work best? So we're really just getting started with it, but pharmacologically, it's certainly not impossible.
Wow. You know, our chat room's kind of blown up on this as well. A couple of people mentioning that this has been a situation for them, and I think we may be onto something. This may be the marketing that gets marijuana legalized. If all the soccer moms in the world knew that marijuana would take care of hot flashes, we could have this passed everywhere.
Well, women are who basically repealed alcohol prohibition, so it wouldn't surprise me.
All right. So before we go, one last chance to get a question in here. If you're in our chat room or if you'd like to call in to 971-533-7111, I'd like to ask a question just on a schedule basis, Dr. Mitch. What's happening for you next? Will there be any public presentations where people can get a chance to meet you?
I'm actually giving a talk at SUNY Albany tomorrow night at 7 in one of the Learning Center classrooms, and if anybody wants to come by there, I'd be delighted to see them. And then I've got some things scheduled downstate probably in late July, so I'll keep everybody posted for that as well.
All right, looking forward to it, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, member of the Normal Board of Directors and one of America's leading researchers on cannabis science, culture, history, and health. You can email him directly at 420research@gmail.com or visit our 420radio.org contact form and do the same. We'll talk to you next week, Dr. Mitch. Thanks for helping us out.
Have a great week.
When we come back, we'll have Lindsay Reinhart and Sarah Frank. Cross our fingers, we'll get them on the line and get their take on what's going on with the Idaho 3. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show. The voice of the marijuana nation. Normal stands for responsible adult cannabis use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush
to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. I've said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Rather than Grant.
Welcome back, everybody, and we're going to continue on with the story that we broke in Behind the Headlines today of what I'm now calling the Idaho Three, because all political prisoners deserve a very clever and catchy nickname. The Idaho Three are the Idaho activists who are now being persecuted, and joining us by telephone, we have Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana and Lindsay Reinhart from Compassionate Idaho. Ladies, thanks for joining us on short notice.
Thank you, Raya. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with Lindsay. Lindsay, I briefly told the story of what was going on, but I want to hear it straight from you as to what happened. Just fill us in on how we got to this point where your kids have been taken.
I was out of town, and there was an incident They said that my child did something that he didn't. It brought the cops to my house. They said that they wanted to do a well child check. I was out, like I said, I was out of town. I was full of mountains. I was actually enjoying them. God forbid. The babysitter, she didn't know, and she went ahead and let him in. And they walked through my house. They saw some things that they didn't like. They stayed here for about 4.5 hours while they held my children separate from my babysitter. While they raided my house, they took my children into state protective custody. There was a foster parent. I'm trying to work with the state to get my children back. But I haven't been charged yet. I don't know when it will be.
Lindsay,
a piece of paper in my house. I've got 4 pages that are pretty scary looking.
Yeah.
And I'm a freaking patient. The warrant for trafficking. I'm not.
We know, Lindsay. Lindsay, take a breath. Take a breath. Let me talk to Sarah for a moment. I don't want you to get too upset, and I know how upset this must make you. Sarah, can you give us a little fill-in as well? If I'm understanding correctly, this well child check sounds like a knock and talk. Did they have any sort of warrant in this?
Well, it sounds like this started at an elementary school, and it had to do with the children involved. And the police held the children at the school for 7 hours before bringing them to the house in which the babysitter let them in. There was no warrant to begin with.
I should interject. Mm-hmm. The police did not hold my child for 7 hours. The school held my child for 7 hours. And I don't know what exactly the police involvement was as far as actually holding him themselves. I don't have all of the details. My lawyer has told me to not talk to them without him present. Mm-hmm. So it's been hard for me to get all of the details. I'll have a lot more information tomorrow. But for now, I know that they took my child out of the rest of the population of the school, and they did hold him in the office for the entire day. And they did not contact a single emergency contact on the form. I have a voicemail, maybe, I think I only have one, and it says that they were contacting me about a behavior issue, but they didn't call my ex-husband, who is legally my son's biological father, who has every right to go to the school and pick him up, and they never called him either. So,
and as every parent knows, in an elementary school, they have what they call resource officers. Mm-hmm. There are armed police officers walking the halls of our elementary schools, making sure that they are there when they are needed. And my assumption is that that's what happened, is that the resource officer got involved. It was the resource officer or someone involved with him who went to the house afterwards. Mm.
So we have the police show up. You and your husband and Sarah, you're out of town. You're in, out in the mountains. The cops show up to basically do what they call a well child check. The babysitter's there. And this kind of illustrates something that those of us in the cannabis community need to be very, very diligent about, is, you know, training our babysitters and having them understand what we're involved with and what's going on, so they can react properly. But, you know, this is nothing that, you know, an average babysitter is going to know how to deal with, is it?
Exactly.
I thought that she knew. I'm sorry. I'm really trying to keep it together here.
It's okay.
These are my kids. She's an older gal. She's gone through her own rodeos. I thought she knew the rules. We discussed it briefly, you know, like, you know, don't let anybody in without a warrant, that kind of crap, you know, the stuff that you talk about, but it wasn't, they scared her. I've been talking to my neighbor. My neighbor watched the cop get right into the babysitter's face. They intimidated her. They mm-hmm. did what cops do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel responsible because I feel that I should have educated her more.
No.
But at the same time, you know, she's human. I'm not mad at her. You know, cops can be intimidating. Don't let cops intimidate you. You make them get a warrant. And, you know, when you're under that kind of pressure and you're at somebody else's house and somebody else's kids, they threatened her because, you know, cops can lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
So they told her that if she didn't let them in to do the well check, they would just arrest her, and then they would go and they would arrest the children as well.
Oh my. Oh my. This is just, we can't.
Yeah,
it's
all about intimidation, and mm-hmm. that's what they use to get into these homes. Whether you know your rights, whether you're invoking your rights, they know how to work past that, and they know how to get into your home. And it's important to know verbatim your Fourth and Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights, to not allow them into your home, to not even talk to them without an attorney present.
Yeah. And this is what happens. And how much of this do you think, do you think this is just accidental circumstance, or is there political motivation behind this?
I definitely think there's political motivation behind it. Everybody knows who Lindsay is.
Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, there are some awfully strange allegations that I don't want to get into right now due to the case, and because it is to protect mm-hmm. my child, but
sure.
I'm not going to discuss them. But really, the allegations that have been made are downright ludicrous. I mean, just outrageous. And as soon as I can talk about them, I will.
Okay.
Well, but, I can't yet. But they, they know who I am. They know what I'm trying to do. And every time we move forward with our petition, every time we win over the city council, every time we match an editorial for editorial, every time there's a deadline for a petition, there's an SCR saying they don't want marijuana in Idaho, my child is claiming innocence. He's extremely well-educated in cannabis and hemp and medicine. That kid is smart. There's no way. There's just no way.
Yeah.
And I'm so mad. I don't even have the words for it. I'm so mad.
We feel your anger, and I'm telling you, our chat room here is just lighting up about this. Edging close to police brutality, they say, happens to moms and dads. So many moms and dads, one in Georgia, this is going on. People are really reacting to this, and I hope that everyone can get on. I've made you guys a short link for the WePay Fund. It's rad-r.us/Idaho Fund. Capital I, capital F, rad-r.us/Idaho Fund, and you can donate to their fund. We're over $500 now. It was $100 when I saw it this morning. So let's keep donating to the fund and help them get the legal support they need. You know, when we're activists, when we go out here and do this activism, we kind of do it, you know, you're jumping off the high board, right? You're diving, you know, working without a net sometimes. And the only net we have is the goodwill and compassion of our fellow activists and our fellow cannabis consumers to help us out. So please give to this. And help them out, because we're setting precedent. We're calling them the Idaho 3 here at 420 Radio, and I'm calling on all stoners to boycott Idaho potatoes until we get these kids back. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. Boycott Idaho potatoes.
It's not just us three, you know. I mean, there's me, my husband, the executive director of Idaho Normal. He was with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Sarah Caldwell. She's the other half of Compassionate Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just us three. There's so many people I hear from all the time that have had their kids removed in our state because of cannabis and only cannabis, which is exactly what has happened in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens in medical states, even.
Child, for having cannabis, and it's not dangerous. So, I'm so mad. Like, I'm being painted as a criminal, and I'm not one.
You are not.
And I need help. We need help big time. Like, I have fled for Idaho for help for 2 years. Ever since I found out that there was a movement in Idaho, I dove in head first. And I need help. I've been asking for help for Compassionate Idaho. Medical marijuana is ready to happen in Idaho. Idaho residents are not going to be okay with this. Idaho residents are not okay with this. And it's a situation where we ask for help with Compassionate Idaho because we need to change the medical marijuana laws, and people know that. And then something like this happens, and they're going to go after the chief petitioner that's trying to change the medical marijuana laws. You know, they drug my children into it, which I don't know.
And she's doing exactly what is right. And the biggest thing is that children are often removed from homes of medical patients and recreational users because of the misinformation that surrounds cannabis that has been ingrained within these departments. The most tragic thought about these situations is that these children are being thrown into homes of strangers, people mm-hmm. they don't know, away from everyone and everything they have ever known, and all because of these outdated laws that claim cannabis is harmful. With CPS and the department, it's immediate harm is required to remove a child from a home. And when those authorities take their children, they suppose that it's in the best interest of the children. And it's education that is needed to change that, because the science and toxicology of cannabis has proven to us all that it is not harmful.
Right.
And it is more detrimental to these children to disrupt their lives by ripping them from the only family they know and forcing them to live amongst strangers and then go through court here hearings and only visitations with your parents that you can't even go home with at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, what really is in the best interest of these children?
Let's
it's
keep talking about
not
that.
Being removed from marijuana use.
I agree. Let's keep talking about that. Sarah and Lindsay, please stay on the line if you can. We got a break here at the top of the hour. We'll come back. Toker Talk Radio, hour two. Call in if you've got questions or just want to give thanks and support. We'll be right back. Hey, until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down slow.